Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, faithful followers. This is your old pal, Brother Jack Angley, bringing you a new edition of Live from the Monastery of Mayhem here on Blog Talk. Our guest today is Queen Melovia. She'll be joining us shortly. So I'm going to be answering the phone. We have a caller from 775. Let me bring you on the air. All right, caller, you're
Hello.
On the air. Hi, who's this?
How you doing there, Jack?
Oh,
well,
I'm
this
doing
is Ash.
Fine. Ash, nom de plume. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing okay. It's Saturday morning. You know how it is.
All right, we've got another caller from the 310 area code. I'm going to bring him on with us. Hello, caller. You're live on the air. Who am I speaking to?
This is the Queen.
Oh, Queen Melovia. Well, thank you for calling in, Your Majesty. Got our guest today, Melovia, the Queen of Screams, and also on the live in the book, there's a noted author, Ash Nam de Plume. You know, he's a big fan of, I've shown Ash some of your films, he's a big fan.
Well, I'm so displeased to hear that. I'm having a very difficult time hearing you. It might be because it's morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the sunlight does have that problem.
All right. We've got we've got another. I had another call coming in on my other line here, but we will go ahead and carry on here, and they should hopefully be calling us. On the show momentarily. Melovia, why don't you give us a little background on what you're trying to do here with the YouTube channel and the movies that you're hosting and your journey into being a horror movie host?
Well, what I'm trying to do is share some terrible stories. Short stories, because we all know how humans have such a terrible attention span. So I'd like to share scary short tales with everyone and anyone. And I feel like with YouTube, you can get in contact with people from all over the world.
All right, well, definitely. Well, let me ask you, where did you get the idea to become a horror hostess and share these films? What was your inspiration, as it were, or did you have a particular horror host you might have liked growing up?
Well, I'm not going to disclose my age because a lady never, ever exposes that. But one of my favorite ladies of all time would be Vampyra. She's just exquisite. And so, she gave me the inspiration to come out of the coffin, as I would say, and share all these scary tales. But also, I'd like to share people with my life. So I've been also filming a little behind-the-scenes scary stories to post as well.
Okay. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, darling.
Okay. Yeah, it's always hard to tell who can hear who on these things. Since you're a woman horror host, do you find that you end up having the glass ceiling or other gender biases against you where, Vampyra was famous because, in addition, she not only did she have to be the vampire, she also had to be a beautiful woman on top of it. And do you think that you have to face barrier where everybody expects that you do the Elvira thing where you have to show the leg and you have to show the breast? Or is that part of what you like about this?
I'm honestly just being who I am. And if I need to show off beautiful assets of myself, I will totally do that. As far as feeling pressured, absolutely not. In fact, everybody has pretty much embraced me and embraced what I'm doing. And so that just makes my freezing cold heart flutter a little bit.
Okay, so these, how do we say, double standards are not a problem for you?
No, I have not come across that at all. Not at all.
Well, glad to hear it. You know, it's like I said, as a male, I wouldn't know because I'm on the side that doesn't get the bad side of the double standard.
No, I've been very unfortunate in that area, and I will be continuing on doing what I need to do, and I don't care what anybody else thinks anyway.
That's good. It takes all the fun out of why you do care.
Exactly.
So is there anything unique or a unique message that you're wanting to communicate to everybody, or is it just a lot of good, naughty fun?
A lot of naughty fun. You know, I think what I like most about what I'm doing is sharing a lot of short scary tales. A lot of times, you know, feature scary tales are taking, you know, first place. And so there are a lot of short scary tales that should be, you know, being pushed to the front and viewed, and a lot of independent stories. So I'm hoping that I can shed some light on that aspect because, you know, sometimes those get overlooked and, you know,
yeah.
So shouldn't.
Is there a certain thematic element that you're looking for? I mean, are you about wanting to have people face the fear of physical abuse or deal with the fears of mental abuse or sexual abuse or stereotypes? Is there something, you said you like the short stories, so obviously you want a short, simple message. Is there one that draws you to its attention?
Anything that is just dark and creepy. I'm a little biased. I like a good ghost story, demons, that kind of thing.
So you like the good ghost story. So do you feel that the horror genre is a good way to help people realize the face or fear of ghosts?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to step away from the mic for a moment. I did want to take a moment here just to let you know that the noted scream queen, Dawn the Verger, will be calling the program shortly here. You know, so she is definitely someone I'd like Malovia to have a chance to chat with. She's going to be appearing in several movie features, and it would be definitely someone you would definitely want to meet. I do want to take a moment to do a little house cleaning. I'd like to thank the friends of the broadcast, our friends at BingeOut.com. And I did mention this to Malovia earlier. They will be having a Binge Out live event. Basically, that is a mass viewing of a particular show or movie or series, and everybody will get a chance to comment on it. And this might be of special interest to Queen Melodia. It is going to be the Fantastic Farida Diet on Netflix. That is this Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. They'll be watching the movie and commenting. You can go to Binge Out at www.bingeout.com for all the details. And we'd also like to thank our good friend, Dr. Steven, the owner and lord and master of that panel, Mr. Igor Blasheny, who's someone I would also, you know, like to have more of the abuse. And hopefully he will be calling you shortly. Oh, we have a new caller, so I'm going to bring him online. All right, so caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Live from the Monastery of Mayhem. I'm Brother Jack Angry. You're on with myself, Queen Malovia, the Queen of Spoons, and noted author Ash Nambathum. Who is this?
Hey, my name is Chris. I'm calling out of Sarasota, Florida. First time, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay, it's like, yeah, Chris, I think I know who you are, Chris, and welcome to the program. Why don't you say hi to both of you?
I would like to say hi to Mistress Malvolia. It is an honor to speak to you. I am greatly enjoying the clips of you I see on the internet, and I look forward to seeing much more of you soon. You have encouraged me to show a lot more breast and thigh in my own life, and I do really look forward to your program.
Well, thank you, darling. I appreciate all that.
And I just wanted to ask, do you think the reason people like horror hosts always host bad movies is because if they hosted good movies, you'd be like, hey, get off the screen. I'm watching a good movie. But with a bad movie, it's like with a bacon that you could spread on top of like a turd sandwich.
Well, I mean, I guess you can view it any way that you view it. I personally don't feel like I've chosen some bad movies to show to people. But I feel like, you know, the horror genre, unfortunately, always goes with low budget. So, you know.
All right. Well, thank you, Malovia. Is this sounding any better? I had to adjust the microphone slightly.
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. I do apologize. Okay, is that any better?
I hear you better, so if that helps at
all.
Yes,
I can hear you now.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, all right, great. Well, I apologize for those technical difficulties, so let's continue. All right, so Malovia, and I believe Chris here can back me up on this. So you being a new horror hostess, do you have any negative things that you might want to comment on as far as, have you received any resistance from any other established horror hosts? Or I know we've been doing a lot of promoting with our show to have members of the horror host community kind of reach out to you and welcome you into this community. Have you received any feedback from anyone?
As of late, I have not received anything, and that's okay. You know, things like this take time. People need to get to know me, and I completely understand that. But as far as negativity, no. I've been fully embraced.
Well, that's that is excellent. I mean, we definitely want to make sure that you're feel welcomed in the horror host community. As I explained in some of our texts, there is an organization called the Horror Host Underground, which is a network of over 300 active and inactive hosts that cover the gamut from everything from internet horror hosts to public access to people, hosts that do live stage shows, and hosts that, are working out of mainstream network TV, like Sven Gulli.
That's delightful.
Yes, it is. And there's a number of well-known female horror hosts, Penny Dreadful the 13th, Janet Takei, Elvira, obviously tracing you guys' roots all the way back to Vampyra. I was always a big fan of Vampyra as well. I mean, she was one of the first hosts to ever, if not out overtly, rather subconsciously integrate elements of BDSM into her horror host performances. Having some ties to that particular community, that does get noted a lot. Everybody, she is the first one that they think of who thinks of that. So what projects are in the works for Queen Malovia here?
Well, I have more short, scary tales that I will be sharing with everyone. And coming up this Tuesday, I have a little scene that I meet my match, as you would say. So we have a lot of tales that we'll be telling over the next couple of weeks. And, by mid-April, we'll be finishing up season one, and then, talks will move on for season two.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
I was also supposed to appear in a pilot this coming season as well. So if anything comes about that, I will let everyone know.
Yeah. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you, Ash.
Because I came and kind of came and went thanks to the moderns of technology and having bad connections.
I was wondering if you had like a story arc that you were going for, because you're talking about the upcoming events, or are you just kind of let things take their natural course?
I'm just letting things take their natural course. I do have...
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I do have my short scary tales in order of how I will be showing them. But as far as the behind-the-scenes filming and the little short skits that I'll be doing is just kind of coming and going as they please.
Yeah, I do also want to compliment the horror host community as far as that goes, because I come from a primarily science fiction sort of background, and I have family who have been long-term authors forever. And you usually find a great deal of animosity and hatred and resistance where, you know, Jack and I have known each other for a little bit. And, you know, I was happy to put together a book for him and having a lot of fun. In fact, I'm working on a third one now and found nothing but welcome and niceness. So I'm glad that you're enjoying the benefits that this is a, how do I say, a little more laid back, fun community where slap and tickle is not an offense, but something we look forward to. And yes, I at least love Elvira as a child, as a teenager. Very fond memory of Elvira as a teenager.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, sorry about that, people. We had a small bit of technical difficulties. The call got dropped, so I'm back now. So, Malovia, you said you were actually supposed to be appearing in a pilot. What did that entail?
I unfortunately can't indulge in that information because it is all on lockdown. But if it does take off and goes anywhere, I will for sure let everyone know.
Well, congratulations that you're involved in a project that is worthy of the lockdown contract provisions. With, you know, that means you hopefully
yes.
at least made it off of low budget onto at least a budget.
It's a TV pilot, yes.
Oh, that's good. Outstanding. So it sounds like a whole lot of fun as far as that goes, and you need to be able to branch out. Will you be able to, are you going to be participating as Queen Malovia, or do you actually have to take on some sort of artificial character?
I unfortunately have to take on some artificial character, but the resemblance will be uncanny.
Oh, that's good. Yes, I saw your pictures on the internet. I appreciate the resemblance.
Yes. Of course. We need to share the love. Always.
They keep talking like that, I might have to have my next book come by and visit you.
I've had many offers.
Okay.
Well, yes, she has, and most of them have been from us, but she keeps ignoring us.
Never.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have to have a Jack Angry character show up in California and say hello on their way by to somewhere else.
Well, I am always here.
Should I take that as a yes, that you would like to have them stop by and make their presence known as they go through?
I always accept visitors into my lair. The doors are always open, but I cannot promise that you will leave.
Well, that's half the fun.
What's
the old line? Please, no, don't stop. I said, no, don't stop. Oh, sorry. Flashback, don't mind me. So where do you envision the horror movie industry going? More of the mainstream sort of stuff of the Friday the 13th and John Carpenter sort of stuff? Or do you think a lot more of the indie, uniquely creative short films to address specific small issues will be the next genre? Because, I mean, let's face it, most major horror flicks just basically have the poor blonde getting stabbed first and the chubby guy at the end having to solve the mystery of who the psycho is.
I feel like that's changing, and in a good way. Let's be for real. I'm so exhausted over the remakes. I'm just exhausted of them. A lot of production companies are playing it safe, and you know are so worried about certain income. Whereas I feel like they should be taking a chance and taking on these, maybe these shorter stories and expanding on them, or going the indie route and taking some of those ideas and putting them mainstream. I feel like everybody's getting a little tired of the remakes and, you know, all these past things coming back.
Yeah, I was overseas for a number of years doing some teaching, because that's the day job. And I found that several of the movies I saw overseas were remakes of 50 things. And then after they got made overseas and were not such a failure, and Hollywood re-embraced them and did that. But after a while, it all became, why am I watching the same movie over and over and over with three character changes? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a formula. You know,
mm-hmm.
everything's to the formula. It's like, can I see something unique?
Exactly. And you know, I am affiliated with the indie horror community out here in Los Angeles, and I feel like everybody is feeling the same way, that we need something new. We need something that, invigorating, that will, you know, frighten us.
It was kind of fun to see, like, the Blair Witch Project take off, because they managed to fool everybody. It was a nice fool. I mean, the Blair Witch Project,
absolutely.
Too, I thought was a stinker, but the first one was, you know, that was cool and clever. As far as I go, the Sixth Sense was kind of cool and clever, and all the sequels since then have been kind of like, oh, really? Can we knock it off with the long, drawn-out thing? I mean, it was a cute gag once.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
So, Malovia, so you're basically, what you're saying is you think that hearing this correctly, that you kind of think that the filming community is basically, we've kind of had like a brain drain going on. We've got a new caller just a moment. Hello, caller, you're on the air with Brother Jack Angry, Ashnan the Poom, and Malovia, the Queen of Screens. Who's calling?
This is Dawn DeVerger. I believe you were expecting me to call.
Yes, I was, Dawn. Well, thank you for calling, everybody. We've got noted Scream Queen, Dawn DeVerger online. Dawn is also responsible for organizing and running the Geeknomicon horror convention and film festival out of Biloxi, Mississippi over the last several years. So how are you doing, Dawn?
Oh, fair to partly cloudy. And how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Let me introduce you to Malovia, the Queen of Screams. Malovia, Dawn DeVerger, Queen Malovia.
Hello, darling.
Hello,
nice
to meet
you.
So when you called in, we were kind of talking about the remakes, and I'm in total agreement with Malovia, you know, that America, I don't know about anyone else, and I know you kind of echoes you guys' sentiments, is that, you know, I'm getting thoroughly tired of these remakes, reboots, reimaginings. Yes, most of them have turned out good, but, I mean, when did America stop having any original ideas or any original thoughts or concepts?
Well, it's partially because there's just been such a mass emphasis on scheduling and everything else and economics that imagination is taking a back seat. It's not emphasized anymore in America, so people are afraid to express themselves properly or definitely creatively. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't disagree. As you know, somebody, like I said, my day job is a school teacher, and we so much beat creativity out of our kids, and everything has to be about a standardized test that has no relationship to reality, that by the time you get to the back end of all this, we go, why does everybody only know how to solve the same four problems and nothing unique?
Part of the problem. Another part of the problem is the money that's going into a lot of these films, all the way from the full-fledged union films to the New Line films to some of the higher-budget B films, is being put in by the same generation that grew up on those movies that are being remade. And they want to put their own spin on it like that, but at the same time, they've been so focused on that that they're not creating something unique.
Do you think maybe some of it might be just economic fear? I mean, we've come off of probably, you know, arguably 20 years of bad times. I mean, when, you know, Bush Jr. took over before 9/11, the stock market was in free fall. And then 9/11 gave us, quote, the war boost, but then we diverted all these people overseas for combat. And now we're paying a price on that. And then we end up with the crash of 2008 and 2009 on the housing bubble, But, I mean, if you look back at this, basically since 98, 99, it's always been one economic disaster with a short relief after another. Do you think they're just gun shy of, I have very little money and I got to get it back, is a motivation?
Yeah, I have to agree completely with you. There's a recession that nobody wants to admit is happening. You know, denial's not just a river in Egypt anymore. And part of the problem is people are afraid to invest in what they do not know. They are like, okay, well, this is something completely new. We have no target demographic. We have no idea how to market this. We have no templates in place. So if I'm going to make some money on something that's a known commodity, and then I'm going to get stuck in that known commodity, and I'm not going to be able to make what I think would be experimental. So it's a fear of not getting your money back, because especially with B-Horror, so many of these people are putting out their whole savings, and then they're not getting the money back, and then they're scared. Because what are they going to do next?
I'm just going to cut in here in a moment, Dawn, and I want to get Malovia's take on this in just a moment. But the regular podcast is going to end in about 3 minutes, but don't worry, then we'll switch over to what's called the after party, and everybody who's in the chat will just stay in the chat, and we'll be able to talk for about another 15 minutes.
Okay.
All right, Malovia, are you there? Okay, well, I'd like to get your thoughts on kind of what Dawn was saying here, since you are, you know, you do accept, indie horror submissions from your fans, and I know you do work in the indie field. Do you think the indie horror field is kind of the way to go as far as maybe bringing some originality back to the American horror film industry? What are your feelings on this?
Well, I feel like that's the only way a filmmaker can really get their script entirely done the way that they want to get it done. Unfortunately, you know, if you sell your script, the studio can bring in different writers and rewrite it, and therefore your story is not being told the way that you want it to be told. Or if you are lucky enough for your script to be picked up, you then have producers who have a lot of money that then want to change it because they want to, quote unquote, make it better, even though they picked up the script and liked the script originally. So I feel like the indie is the way to go, because you can do what you need to do and say what you want to say and complete it the way you want to complete it.
Okay. Well, okay. That is, that's a definitely a valid point. Yes, I'm here, Dawn. I was just going to say, you're going to be doing some new projects. Is that right?
I hid for about a year, and I'm about to start doing some more projects. And they're going to be independent for exactly the reasons that she was just mentioning, so that they are original, so that they are true to form and the vision of the person making them. So everything she just said is completely right. But, yeah, I'm doing two new projects right now. I just wrote a story for a comic book called Bachelor's Grove, so I'm breaking into that market as well.
Okay, well,
you.
Excellent. Go ahead, Ash.
Okay, I was going to say, with the publishing industry, with both either books or indie films being somewhat electronic, where you can do everything as e-books and e-movies and online streaming, do you feel that this technology is empowering the creative process then, or do you think it's cheapening it?
Yes. I have to say both, because the problem is, one, that, yes, you can get more out there to a larger group of people more affordably, and that's great. Things can go, quote, unquote, viral. However, simultaneously, it's diminishing anyone's ability to get anything back out of it. You're also losing the confusion of, is it legitimate or is it not legitimate? Is this a big press? Is it not big press? So, you know, self-published versus Doubleday, and there's a lot of confusion on that note. So it's causing more diversification. It's causing people who couldn't break into the market to be able to. However, at the same time, now nobody's winning.
Yeah,
so it's a double-edged sword.
I put out a few books recently, a couple of them for my friend Jack, and in fact, one of them is a free one, and getting some of the people to give back feedback. Everybody reads it and say, can I get a review, and can somebody tell me where I went wrong? Because, you know, you need feedback of did you go down a dark path, and just getting somebody to answer your questions sometimes can be just so frustrating. You're just like, just because it's an e-book doesn't mean it's crap. Can you tell me if it was garbage or good? Yeah, how about a little feedback?
Yeah, that's part of the problem is just getting an honest review and avoiding all the trolls out there because of the medium. People can hide behind a screen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like I said, I'm feeling you on that one. And it's got to be extra frustrating when you have a large amount of money involved, because even a cheap movie, you know, is a lot of money because the cameras are just an outstanding expense. And actually, if you do any film or digital or editing, you can have more than an automobile tied up in 30 minutes of film.
Oh, yeah, very easily. And another thing is you've also got people like distributors. That's how you get DVDs out there and stuff like that, or books out there. And they're getting inundated, so they don't know if it's real or not. You say it's a micro budget or low budget, they're immediately leery because it might be some kid filmed something with a cardboard cutout on his iPhone and calls it a movie, or it could be somebody that spent $50,000, had a real named actor or two, and actual effects, but they don't know. And they get hit with so many now because it's so easy to make submissions that just reading through them is too much for a lot of distributors.
Oh, I absolutely can see your point. And just even the sheer process of reviewing them can be expensive. I mean, as I talk about with the education, I have, you know, kids are trying to go to university. And there's a couple of universities out there who employ entire staffs who are supported by the admissions fee just to go through the applications, because it takes them, you know, 20 minutes to go through an application. You got to pay for that person's time. So it costs you $100 to apply to a school just to have them look at it so they can afford to read it. And then again, if you're an indie producer, do you want to pay $1,000 to ask somebody to watch your film to say yes or no? It's huge double-edged sword. I think it's cutting really badly.
Yeah, I agree. But that's what the smaller film festivals used to be about, is getting, you know, small demographic audiences that could look at it, review it, getting active feedback, you know, little movie nights, things like that. And they used to have these, but now it's getting harder and harder to have those because everyone wants to have a convention. Having run a convention, it's a big deal. Everyone wants to have this, and everyone wants to be Dragon Con, or everyone wants to be Comic Con. You can't do that. Everyone wants to be Sundance. That's not possible. Those took years. It's if you have a movie screen, you can target a demographic. Like New Orleans right now is doing something brilliant that's helping filmmakers and producers and actors. They're having networking parties. They rent out a bar. They have a screen. They invite at least three people from each film have to be there. They exchange cards at the end like, hey, I'm a cameraman. Hey, I'm an actress. And it's building the community, and it's producing more and more quality as these talents are starting to, you know, dovetail together. But also people who are distributors can just pop up at one, find a couple of gems, and do something about it. People who write about and review things can show up, watch all these movies, and have something legitimate to say, not just because they've watched it, but because they, as a result of the way it's formatted, got to meet someone. We need more things like that across the nation to help this industry grow.
You'll be doing down in Biloxi?
They're doing those in New Orleans.
Okay. You were saying you were down in Biloxi. I didn't know if that was something that you were going to try to transplant to your location, or is New Orleans meeting the need? And I guess we also probably ought to ask Malovia if she is able to take advantage of these, or how she's been dealing with all the biases against small films.
Well, luckily for me, the horror community isn't too big. I mean, it's big, but it's not like crazy out here in Los Angeles. So, you know, networking online, there are a lot of indie horror groups that do hold these meet and greets and these mixers. And so it's been really easy to connect with people and to talk about what you're doing and sharing what you're doing. And luckily I found like a real solid group of people. And, you know, we've been making films on the regular, on our own short films. That also helps you branch over to the next one, where if somebody's writing something, they think of you and they put you in it as well. So, you know, I've been really fortunate like that, that we just keep moving forward and going and talking and writing and just go, 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 go.
So it sounds like you have quite a healthy community there. Is that where you've been getting a lot of your short work from?
Yes. I mostly write most of my own stuff, but, you know, there was a indie horror writer director that was interested in when I was launching my show. And so since he showed interest, I gave him a chance, and the two episodes that he was able to write were just amazing and fantastic and super fun to do. So, you know, we just keep expanding on that. You know, you give somebody a chance, and it's amazing what happens and what turns out.
Well, so is that, going with that is, so your little community's all been able to produce work for each other to help each other. Because, I mean, who wants to see an indie film by itself? I mean, you know, that's what brings a whole other thing to mind as solo activity.
Oh, exactly. I mean, once you kind of prove yourself and show what you can do, you know, it just keeps going on and on. And so you share this with your not only colleagues, but then you are friends, you know. And so you just keep moving forward with each other, supporting one another, showing up for events, no matter what it is. And it's a very supportive community.
Well, glad to hear that you're enjoying that. Of course, then again, that's how we got to meet you.
That's very
right.
True.
Well, we got about slightly less than 10 minutes before they shut us off here. But I wanted to direct this question to Malovia. So your show is obviously, it sounds like it's really starting to take off. And I know that the promotional work that myself and my show, I've passed you on to Ash and several other people. Are we going to be seeing like Malovia merchandise, posters, anything like that? Are we going to see like maybe a compilation DVD at some point in the future?
There are beginning talks of that. I mean, to be honest with you, when I did launch back on January 1st with the promo pick, I really had no idea that this was going to have a life of itself. I didn't think anybody was going to be this interested. I didn't think anybody was going to embrace me this much. So it's been kind of a learning experience as well. And so, yes to all of it. There's a lot of beginning talks about all of that as of right now.
Okay, well, great. And Dawn, so what can we look what can we expect from you coming up here in the near future?
Well, we completed shooting on Ringmaster, so hopefully that will be out for this coming October. As I said, I just submitted for Bachelor Grove; it was accepted, and they're working on the art now. That's a comic book, and I've started filming on a new Steve Sessions film. Though I'm not allowed to say too much about it, but he is working on it, and it's coming together nicely. And it's going to be another anthology, classic Crypt Keeper style antics, of course, but a different twist, as he always does. Several other things are in negotiation right now, i.e., how am I going to get there? The plight of the B-movie. And I'm also talking with a New Line group that is going to be doing a web series. Which my son might be in, ironically.
Okay. Excellent. Now, Malovia, my friends Binge Out did turn me on to a project that they've kind of been holding on to, and I would like to have you take a look at that. Would it be okay if I sent that to you?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Excellent. It's a short kind of avant-garde noir horror piece called Soft White Light, and I definitely want you to take a look at it. Also, I do want to mention here, before they cut us off, remind everybody about the event on Binge Out, which is Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. You can go to bingeout.com, which is www.bingeout, bingeout.com, and look for the Binge Out event, which is the Santa Clarita Diet. We will be having like a group watching party. It'll be through Twitter and Twitter Fall. Basically, you can comment on things in real time as they're happening on the screen. Myself, Brother James, and we'll try to get some of the girls involved in it too. But I did want to let everyone know. Now, Malovia, you tell us while we before we get cut off, why don't you give us a little information on the YouTube channel?
You can see all the videos that have been posted so far. YouTube.com/C/ Malvolia, the Queen of Screams. So far, we have two short film reviews and two skits posted. And another skit is coming on Tuesday. I post every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, excellent. And Dawn, you know, why don't you get me the information here on your any like pages or Facebooks and that you have, and I'll be happy to post that. And they're probably going to cut us off here in about 3 minutes. I want to thank all of the people who called in and our guest of honor, Malovia, the Queen of Screams. And that's like I said on your Facebook thing, you can suck the blood out of me anytime you like.
Yeah, someone really enjoyed that comment, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if he enjoyed it or not. I don't think he understood it. And also, I want to throw a big shout out to our erstwhile competition, Dr. Sanguinary here in Omaha. Let me just say, eat a bag of dicks, you redheaded hack. Thank you.
Well, as I understand things, he's the horror host version of Grabbing by the Pussy. Well, he's the horror host version of Grabbing by the Pussy President. So.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, if Donald Trump were to become a horror
he's
host,
an embarrassment.
He'd be Dr. Sanguinary. He's an embarrassment to the
now.
Human race.
I much prefer the new name for Trump, Cheeto Hitler.
I call him Tyrannosaurus Rump myself, but, you know.
I can't do
else.
That. I like
Cheeto
dinosaurs.
Hitler, that works. Yeah, sorry. Well, sorry, I don't want to insult the dinosaurs. But as far as that goes. And if either of you
yeah, they make your cars run
me, of course. Yeah, there you go. If you ever need to contact me, you can get me at the Ashnome Diplomat, either Facebook, Twitter, or Yahoo at that all the same name. And I'm glad I got to meet you. Thank you for your time. And thank you for answering the questions, as I always like to get the views of the other, so when I'm putting together stories, I can try to make the views of the other side as realistic as possible, because it's kind of hard to imagine what's it like to be a horror host. I'm not one.
Well, Malovia, you did a wonderful job. I know you were kind of stressing about this when I contacted you earlier. You did fine. I'm sure everybody is going to love this podcast, and I will be, as soon as it goes live on Blog Talk, I will be promoting the crap out of this.
Great, thank you. I will too.
All
it was
right.
Nice
well,
meeting
everybody,
you.
Yes. Love to meet you,
everybody.
Ladies.
It was
thank you for your time.
It was great. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so very much. Again, I'm Brother Jack Angry from the live at the Monastery of Mayhem. Let's keep America on top, y'all. Watch horror hosts. Malovia, you're an absolute doll. Dawn, I love you to death. Ash, get a job.
Oh, gee, thanks. Feel the love. I talk about this.
No.
I guess I'm on the wrong end of this one. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you know better than that, Ash.
Where
were you last
week?
Your
character later, dude. The things I'm going to do to your character later, dude.
Oh,
ooh, that sounded awesome.
I got to write your future.
Hey, go easy on me.
He's
going to
love those whips and chains. Yeah, he's going to love those whips and chains.
Well, you read my brochure, but what else is new?
What else is new? It gives me lots of material to work with here, which I enjoy the material-rich universe that you created for me to play with.
Well, yeah, your universe, the James Gray universe, works wonderful. I will also put some links to those, and I hope Dawn and Malovia will pass those on.
Absolutely.
No problem. If anybody needs
absolutely.
If you need some reviewing copies of the other stuff as quote for money, I have a couple of free works and some stuff for money. Let me know and I'll get you the coupons as far as all that goes so you can get them for free. And I'd love